Catherine, would you like to make a statement to the 99?
Yes, I'll try to be succinct. Thank you, Bob. I'll stand up.
Okay.
I didn't know who this man was, really, when I asked him to be my campaign manager. All I knew was I needed help with the survey. And he spent the time with me to sit down and go through this, and when we couldn't agree, he wasn't offended. He respected my opinion. He gave me room to have my own mind and my own opinion, and he would hear me out. And that's what impressed me about Bill Clinton before I knew a fraction of his tremendous experience and expertise. Just a good and honorable and noble friend. He is my hero, and I love him, and Jeannie, and made some really great friends through this. I'll go as quickly as I can. First of all, there are some points I do want to touch on. The comments I made about Oklahoma City were made 15 years ago when I lived in New Mexico. When I lived in New Mexico, what was happening in Waco and Ruby Ridge and Oklahoma City were in my backyard. And it was the presentation of Brigadier General Benton Parton, who came to New Mexico. He was traveling around the western states, talking about what he saw, what he feared, what his concerns were. That when I heard that man, I was so impressed with someone who spent so many years of his life serving this country. And he had to know what he was risking by speaking out. He had to know. And he was still willing to do it. So, 15 years later, when I didn't even know anyone knew or had record of comments I made back then, and it all came up in my face, I had a chance. Somebody suggested I disavow it and say it was a youthful indiscretion, ignorance. And my response to that was no, as in hell no. I will not disavow a man of that caliber and character who risked it all to try to bring some light to a very sketchy subject. And I was not going to throw him under the bus for political expediency, because that's just not who I am. And God forbid I ever become that person to promote myself at the expense of somebody else. So no, I didn't disavow it then. I'm not going to disavow it now or ever. He's a hero. He's a hero to this nation, the Republican Party, and to the truth. In regards to my speech, which has been beaten like a dead horse, you know, and everyone that was there, and I'm talking about every age, every strata of society, not one person there came away from that thinking I was calling for armed insurrection on the United States. But you know what's really scary now is that with digital technology, we've learned that we cannot trust what we read in the papers. And now we've learned that we can't trust what we hear, and we cannot trust what we see. Because to be able to manipulate what someone says in such a fashion and then publish it like that with no consequences whatsoever, people said, well, you should be more careful about what you say. Well, you know, if you can have someone, if I could take a video of you just speaking to me right now, just speaking to me in regular conversation, I can slice it and dice it, and I can turn you into something very different than who you are. So we either say nothing of subsequence and nothing of consequence and nothing that means anything, and we stand for nothing because we're afraid to speak out and we're afraid to be hammered like that, character assassinated like that, or we just keep speaking out. We just keep going, because no offense, backroom blogger, but I don't read blogs, and I don't read nasty, rumor-mongering character assassins, and very, very few people do, actually. In your own little world in your mother's basement, that seems like everything there is. But out here where real people live and work and live and raise their kids and make a living, you are a very small and dark hole that you choose to live in. I don't. So that was the best advice I got early on. Don't read them. Don't listen to them. Just keep going. And that's how I continue to just keep going. When everybody said I didn't stand a chance in hell, it didn't make any difference to me because I had a point. And I was going to make that point, and that is that I believe then, and I believe even more now, that if you run as an unashamed conservative, and you know why you believe what you believe, and you articulate that in a way that's unapologetic, then you will inspire people who have given up on politics a long time ago because they're sick of the blah, 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 talking a lot and saying nothing at all. And I think that Bill helped prove that point with his tremendous expertise and his wisdom and his guidance and his integrity and his honesty and his support of somebody who was very difficult to manage. And that is that we would not run a half-hearted campaign, and we weren't going to be tepid, and we weren't going to hedge on different issues. And I tell you, our radio spots were really great. They were, but they weren't great because of how creative we were or how tricky we were. They were great because they were genuine. They were authentic, passionate, love of God and love of country. And everywhere I went, that's what people said. I love your radio cast. We're great. My mom loved that. My mom loved when you said, on November 3rd, I don't need your money. I need your vote. Everybody loved that. They know that. That was a little center across the board. I want to say, all the bad news I ever received was an email from the Washington Post. And I learned that if you get something from them, it's not going to be good. And that's how I found out what the statewide candidates did. And I have to say, though, after everything else I've been through, when I got that email, I just burst out laughing. I just thought, okay, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm a great believer in the Old Testament. And I loved how Elijah, when he went up against the prophets of Baal, and he had that swift sacrifice, and he said, dump water on it. You know, just let's make this mission impossible to prove that God is God. So I was like, okay, this is water, right? On the wood. Soak the wood, and you're still going to show up big in the end. Well, big in the end came the letter from that crazy person, and I do mean crazy person, that submitted that letter to every newspaper and all the radio stations that I should go apologize to all the victims of the Virginia Tech shootings because I was promoting gun violence. Wow. Well, in the Rappahannock Record, they allowed me a rebuttal, but they didn't tell me that they were going to let him rebut my rebuttal. Because in my rebuttal, I said that, you know, told the truth about how the Democrats, lying, despicable, deceptive people that they are, who believe in, and that the ends justify the means, so they can make up lies any way they want, and no one's going to hold them accountable. They get away with it with impunity. Anyway, I didn't put it quite like that, but at any rate, it was to that essence. And then his rebut to my rebuttal was, Catherine Crable blames the Democrats, and yet her own party. Blah, 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 blah. So that hurt a lot. And the question I had throughout this whole thing was, why? Why? It would have been so easy to laugh at the idea of disavowing the candidate, reading from the Founding Fathers verbatim, which was butchered by the Democrats and made to look like, you know, well, Crable the coup. That's what we all read about. If you did read about it, I tried not to. And so you wonder, to this day, I cannot help but wonder why would have that been so difficult in fact, they missed an opportunity to point out these people for who they are. Liars and manipulators. I mean, it was a ripe
picking. But no, they jumped on board. And it didn't make any sense to me. And I know Ken Cuccinelli went on with the Oklahoma City crazy comment. Well, I was agreeing with a very noble man. And if he wanted to know the truth, if any of them wanted to know the truth, they could have picked up the phone. So, you know, what do you do with that? This is a post-mortem, okay? Unless you can bring this back to life, what do you do with that? I do want to say that the pettiness was astounding. Not just to disavow me, but to remove me, our district, from the website, to deny us access to the voter vault. It was just so strange. And what I think they all failed to understand is that they didn't just hurt Catherine Crable. They disavowed and disenfranchised an entire district that worked so hard to get rid of such a liberal Democrat. And how they failed to connect those dots is astounding to me. But when I think on my Pollyanna side, I get so happy with the thought that for less than $20,000, we came so close. And mentioning Barbara Comstock, who won her seat, I said, and on that women as candidates, I told my friend, this ought to be rich. Anyway, $600,000 later, she did win her seat. She did indeed. And all we needed to be was if we couldn't have, we never asked anyone for their endorsement or their support. Because of the controversy that flared up from the beginning, we were not going to put people in a position to have to say no to us or put themselves at risk. We understood that I was carrying a lot of baggage, that if you have time to hear the explanation, there's no way you can, well, a reasonable person should not have any problem coming away with it going, well, that makes sense to me. But you don't have time to explain to every person on the planet that position. But I can say we probably only had 8 to 12 meet and greets. But those opportunities to speak to people face to face and one-on-one were tremendous. And they made a huge difference. And that's why radio made a huge difference, because people heard from me themselves. And it made them question whether or not I was a kook. So that was good. Frank Delano opined at Rob Whitman's town hall meeting last week. He told my friend, after he got in my face and told me why he didn't like me, and as I sat there refusing to respond to him, which really ticked him off, he got more and more free with his opinion of me. And when my friend challenged him, he said, look, I don't like Democrats, I don't like Republicans, I don't like Catherine Crable, I'm an anarchist. And this... So these are the people that are writing our news. And somehow we have got to work around them, and that's what Bill did.
Now you know why Frank Delano did not get an interview.
That's what Bill did, by writing our press releases and making sure they were in the papers, and that's how we got around the system, was through the paying for ads in the paper, and radio was great. I'm just hoping, because I got to tell you all, I realized when I first burst on the scene, you didn't know who I was, and you didn't know what kind of trouble I was going to stir up, and you didn't know, you know, but you gave me a chance. And I did beat nobody by 86% at that convention, and that was great. You know, seriously.
I've not been.
Be careful how that's going to be reported tomorrow.
Yes. I'm freakish. Yeah, make sure you write that down. I'm freakish. I don't even care. I just cannot be bothered with code talk and political speak. The times are too important. The danger to our nation is too real and too great to play these political games. And if we don't throw off this crap and start speaking the truth without apology and start holding our elected officials feet to the fire, then woe unto us. And I think one core, one root thing, it has, if I can say this whole 10, 11 months has boiled down to okay, well, there's this problem and that problem and this problem. And now it's just, you know, what do you focus on? But what I came to understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, was there's one thing our founding fathers left with us, one of many things, but that root thing is the sacred oath of office. And if we were actually going to insist that our elected officials uphold their sacred oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution, we would live in a completely different world. In fact, if Obama ran as an open Marxist, which he is, and if he had made that known up front, then the majority of Americans voted in a Marxist for president. When he swore to uphold and defend the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, he would have been bound by the constraints of that document to operate within it, and we would still be safe. Because the Constitution is neither left or right, it just is. It is our compass, it points to liberty, it protects us against tyranny, and the only way that document carries the force of law is if those who swear to uphold it actually keep their oath of office.
You hear?
And one thing that shocked everyone, everywhere I went, you want to know the most shocking thing I did to people? I would ask them, what do you call it when an elected official betrays their sacred oath of office? And you could see the looks on their faces as the light went on and the dot connected, and they were shocked to realize that that's called treason. And we have been betrayed. And we've been betrayed because we have tolerated this betrayal incrementally, year after year, decade after decade, until we find ourselves where we are now. There was one thing I asked Rob Whitman at his town hall meeting. I asked him if there were any, if it was within his purview as a congressman to hold his peers, his fellow congressmen's feet to the fire and force them to uphold their oath of office. Did they have the power in Congress to hold one another accountable? His answer was yes. He went into some detail. It sounds like he'd studied it quite a bit. And then I asked him, will you lead that charge? Not a horse calls finest. Sorry. Oh, you're good. Will you lead that charge to compel your contemporaries to uphold their oath of office, and will you uphold yours? I did not get a straight answer. The paper reported that he said yes, he would. I didn't hear it, but I hope he did. But I would say for the future, I don't know what the future holds. I continue, someone said, no, it was Frank Delano. Yeah, him again. At the town hall meeting, he came up and said, oh, Catherine Crable. What are you doing here tonight? You got a statement? I said, look, Frank, I am John Q. Public. Just leave me alone. He said, oh, you'll never be John Q. Public again, Catherine. And started peppering me with questions that I was not going to answer. Not because I don't have an answer, but because he's a liar and I don't trust him. I'm not going to give him another opportunity to have a shot at me. Still, the article was not bad. But I am the same person that I was at the last town hall meeting with Rob Whitman that I've always been. But no one knew me then. So this is not new that Catherine Crable is speaking out and protesting in my own way. And I will always do that because it is my duty, as it is all of our duty, as a citizen of a free republic, to do so. And in summary, I want to say again to Bill, I'm sorry for the friendships that you lost or were challenged by standing up for me.
Don't you worry about it.
And I thank you all, and I apologize to all who were put in an uncomfortable position. I was not trying to promote Catherine Crable. I was trying to promote liberty against tyranny, and I will continue to do so. And thank you all for what you've done throughout this event.
I hope the committee will stand for you. Okay, I'll bring back the meeting to the floor here. Bill?
Catherine, I didn't know you when you first came on the radar as a candidate, but I have observed what you've done, and I am very proud of you for the way you ran, for the things you stood for, because frankly, when I heard you talk about the things that come closest to my heart, going, hey, she's talking about things that I think. And I think that was good. The thing that I'm also proud of you for is you were able to bring in people such as Bill and listen to good advice and take advantage of the experience that they had, because it made a big difference in the way the campaign went. Mm-hmm. I mean, I unfortunately was lying in a hospital bed during a lot of it, but
taking
off weight and getting some plumbing repaired. I was not surprised at the final numbers, because I knew you'd do a lot better than I thought, because of the nature of the election and the fact that I could sense some people who I knew before you ran were not going to support you, but they kept listening, and it changed a lot of their minds. And I think that you need to keep speaking out. I think you need to, to the extent that it's possible, we need to work on cleaning up the mess. I think there are for the record, I haven't had any discussions with them, but I suspect there are three statewide candidates that wish their campaign chairman had maybe thought a little bit about what they were doing. And from what I hear, my old friend, who's the state chairman, has also thought a little bit about what happened. It was unfortunate, but in politics, that stuff happens. I won't use the four-letter word that phrases it, but I think you did an admirable job of running, and you speak from the heart and from the brain, and that helps. Keep it up and try to help to the extent that it doesn't compromise the core values that we stand for. Try to bring as many of us together, particularly our friends in the Tea Party, because they think like we do in many instances. But I thank you for your willingness to run and for the job you did. You made us proud. The next